And frankly, they were implementing the beginning of second semester. That is not where we are, nor what we were looking to do. And they had some wrinkles on that. They're considering in the next day or two at their next board meeting, extending that out, similar to what we're recommending for the beginning of their next school year. It is important to note that they do have testing for their, or excuse me, vaccination required for their athletics and extracurriculars. San Diego Unified, similarly, staff has been implemented. Students are right now about to be implemented. You'll see a number of those court cases that have been in the forefront that should be decided, we're hoping next week, coming up very soon. But to this date, that vaccination mandate has not been stopped. Sacramento City Unified similarly is requiring staff and students to be fully vaccinated. Staff is already been implemented, and students will be looking just like we are to the beginning of next school year. And cities that surround us for their staff have also implemented some form of vaccination. City of San Diego has been implemented. City of Chula Vista has implemented for new employees, hourly employees, and executives as well. So that's our back line. So what are we looking, what are we recommending to you as a board based on the advice and the guidance you've given us previously and working with Dr. Terrace and others? So we are looking from a staff perspective to ensuring that staff is fully vaccinated, or they've notified us that they're not going to be vaccinated, or they've accepted, they've applied for an accommodation. February 1st would be when you let me know, or you were able to get your first dose. Making sure you're fully vaccinated is the key point for us by March 15th. The reason that is so key is our ability to staff for next year cannot wait until July 1st, or we will be starting school potentially, if some of these folks choose not to get vaccinated, without full staffs. And we want to ensure that our students have every teacher, every classified employee that they need to start that school year off. So in the alternative, folks can file paperwork by February 1st for an exemption. Those exemptions we'll talk about in a bit include religious or medical exemptions, or they can file for voluntary resignation or retirement and let us know that I'm not going to get vaccinated. I've made that choice. I'm not going to get vaccinated as a condition of my employment, and starting next year, they will no longer work for the school district. We are still bargaining impacts and effects, but those happen after you as a board have taken action. For students, what we are asking for, generally with the exception of athletics, is that parents let us know in the month of February. We will be sending information out to them, telling them about alternative options should they not wish to be in in-person instruction, but that parents let us know that either their student will be vaccinated and participate in in-person instruction prior to coming to school in July for the 2022-2023 school year, or they in February have filed paperwork for an exemption. And again, medical and religious exemptions would be reviewed on a case-by-case basis. That after folks have submitted completed paperwork, the application requirements would be provided after you as a board give us direction around our next steps. And similarly, for athletes, as we've talked about, our student leaders, our student athletes, our extracurricular participants, the best chance we have for an uninterrupted season of sport or band or choir is to ensure that all student participants are vaccinated. And so what we are looking, given that spring season of sports starts February 5th, is that students receive their first dose or have an approved exemption by February 1st. They are fully vaccinated by March 15th. You're seeing real common dates. We're trying to align that. Or they will not be able to participate in sports or extracurricular activities. What we are making a recommendation to you is that for students that are under 16, until full authorization of the vaccine, they would not be mandated, but they would be strongly encouraged to be vaccinated. We would implement those vaccine requirements as soon as the student turns 16, even if that's mid-season, or as soon as the full approval occurs by the FDA. We are anticipating, we've heard, that that's going to come in January, so it wouldn't upset this timeline for everyone to be vaccinated by February 1st, but the resolution does provide, should you adopt it, the superintendent the ability to move these dates should we not have full approval for the 12 to 15-year-olds. And again, similarly for our athletes, medical and religious exemptions would be reviewed on a case-by-case basis upon timely submission of those paperwork as well. So that really is our recommendation for you. It doesn't make sense to really go into next steps. Well, we'll finish next steps prior to speakers, and then you can ask your questions. But for us, should you decide to implement the timeline or anything close to it, we would we would be noticing the impacted 411 employees of your board action. We would continue our negotiations with our associations, some this month and probably into next month. We would continue, we've already done an initial analysis of the 411 impacted positions, but really after folks tell us that they are going to comply or they won't, so that we can ensure that we have appropriate staffing. This will be a little different. Normally, we do not fill or post a position until there are not folks in that position. For us, we will need to be making sure we have staff ready to go at the beginning of that school year, and we'll continue to do updates for our weekly COVID communications. For parents and staff, bigger piece to get ready for that 22-23 school year, we will request intent forms for students that plan that plan to either go to launch or plan to go to independent study, that include a plan for staffing. The reason that that is important in the month of February is because we very well may need to increase the number of folks that work at launch, and it takes time to recruit that staff. We also would want to ensure that parents have enough time to fill out and complete the exemption process for medical or religious exemptions to be able to ensure their paperwork is provided, to make sure that we have requests for information, to be able to speak to their doctors to analyze that exemption. For athletes and extracurricular, our next step would be to do communications as well to families that are participating of those requirements. And then again, to continue sending weekly communication letters to family with information regarding vaccine, testing, exemptions, and other options for non-vaccinated families. Finally, we would continue in partnerships with the City of Chula, San Ysidro Health, Champions for Health, and other entities to continue providing access to vaccine clinics for staff and students. As you know, we've held 12 vaccine clinics just in October and November, many, many more before that. We have one scheduled at Olympian January 24th, shameless plug, 3:30 to 6:30, Olympian. We also participate in weekly clinics at Chula Vista City Hall from 1 to 4. They're offered on Thursdays and on Wednesdays, with Wednesdays being Moderna, Thursdays being Pfizer, and those will be set up such that our students will have a separate line that they'll be able to participate in. We'll continue our partnerships with SDSU and Concentric, as you saw tonight, that are testing, as we talked about, close to 6,000 students weekly. For our staff, our students, and our community, we'll continue to test those students under under the mandate until we get to the place of the vaccine mandate. Weekly newsletters will continue with parent resources, and you can find those at the COVID website. So at this point, we'll go to public speakers before we go to board discussion, I believe.
Thank you. How many speakers?